It's good to be back at a church that gives us such amazing support every year, not only in the people that you send, but in the finance that you provide. And of that $39,000, you supplied a lot of that. And I can tell you it was put to very, very good use in South Africa. And I'm forever grateful to this church, firstly because this guy, Graham Jakes, is here. And he was the culprit in 2008 who got me excited about Impact Mission and being part of Mission long term. But tonight we have heard from two young people whose lives I saw quite radically changed in the 18 days that we were together. And you know, the Lord's had me concentrating on the Gospel of John in the past 12 months. And it was always one of my favourite Gospels anyway. But just recently I preached in my own church a sermon called When Jesus Crosses Your Path. And I think tonight we have seen some pretty prime moments of Jesus crossing the path of those who went to Africa this year. But you know, it's a story that we all have. If you are a follower of Jesus tonight, then Jesus has crossed your path. For many of us, Jesus has stayed on our path. And I know that in 1980, Jesus came onto my path on July the 9th, and he didn't get off. And I'm very, very pleased about that, because I can't imagine a future or my life without Jesus in it. So I would like you to turn to your Bibles just for a couple of minutes to John chapter 4. And this is a very, very familiar story. In the version of the Bible I use, it's called Jesus and the Samaritan Woman. And I think tonight, as we've heard our young people share with us, particularly Emily's story about the little girl, and I had a couple of moments like that while I was at VBS too. Young girls beaten by their fathers. Friends, I can't even imagine that. Can't imagine the terror that would bring for those girls. And it's just so appropriate, Emily, that you shared that story tonight, because we're going to look at the life of a woman who must have felt the same way. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was winning and baptizing more disciples than John. Actually, Jesus himself did not baptize anyone, only his disciples did. So when Jesus heard what was being said, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. And this is the verse I want you to listen to tonight. On his way there, he had to go through Samaria. In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The woman answered, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink? Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use." What happens when Jesus crosses your path? Extraordinary happens. That's what happens when Jesus crosses your path. John 4 is a story of a woman who didn't know love, yet found it at a hot, dusty well. And what we've heard from Emily tonight, and this young woman, the young girl, she was 13, she came up to me, she was in tears. And the previous afternoon I'd prayed for her grandfather in a house in Sharpeville. Now, if you don't know about the history of Sharpeville, it's where the first of the apartheid massacres took place in 1960. And it's a very sad place. And I had the privilege of going into a house to pray for a man who was dying. She came to me and she said the next day, had no idea who she was, crying, threw arms around me. And she said, "Pastor, Pastor, you prayed for my grandfather last night. He sat up in bed and had some soup. He hasn't eaten for weeks. Jesus crossed our paths." And as we look at the woman at the well, she's a Samaritan woman. She's come at noon. Why would a woman come at noon in the heat of the day? Well, the story is very familiar to us, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but a snapshot of it is that she was a woman who did not have a good reputation. She was a woman who had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. She was a woman who felt, I believe, that she was on beyond any kind of hope or possible redemption. This chapter is a chapter about redemption. It's a chapter about one outcast reaching out to another, because you might find that an unusual statement, but Jesus was an outcast. Despite the fact that he was a prominent rabbi, he was an outcast in his society. He had broken just about every rule you could imagine going through Samaria, because Jews did not travel through Samaria. That is why verse 4 is so significant in this passage of scripture. It says he had to go through Samaria, highlighting to me how far Jesus will go to save one soul. This chapter tells us that your doubts about Jesus will never make you too unworthy. The way you feel about your life does not bring you beyond hope. Your rebellion cannot bring you too far from Jesus. Nothing can push you beyond the reaches of Jesus' loving embrace. It will never be said that people were not accepted by Jesus because he didn't want them. Why? Because verse 4, as I said, tells us he had to go through Samaria. You see, Jesus went out of his way to reach an outcast because God, his Father, sent him to be an outcast. And you know, the thing I find most interesting about this is when the paths of two outcasts cross, ours and Jesus, things happen. Jesus has sent us out into the world to spread the good news of the gospel. Kind of strikes me as being a little amusing at times, because we are, after all, very failed, broken people. And as Emily said, I didn't know what to say. I didn't even know who Jesus was, really. And yet she's come back knowing who Jesus is, because Jesus has worked in her life. I met a guy in prison. His name was Dudley. He was a Cape Coloured man. He had a very good job as a chemical engineer. What was a chemical engineer doing in prison in South Africa? Well, some medical bills came up and he couldn't pay them. And a gang that he had been associated with as a boy heard about it. Dudley decided he would steal some cars for this gang, married to a white Zimbabwean woman with three boys. "John, why am I in prison?" I said, "Well, you got caught. You did something stupid." "Why are we meeting today, Dudley?" He said, "Because Jesus has put you on my path." I shuddered a little when he said that, I've got to say. But we had experiences like that over and over and over again. And you know, the thing is that I find that we don't need to find Jesus, because he's not lost. We're the ones who are lost. Even when we follow Jesus, we get lost. The Samaritan woman knew about God, but she didn't have a relationship with God. So Jesus went to the well to bring her into relationship. We're here because Jesus has found us. You're sitting here because you wanted to support Emily and Josh, or maybe listen to me, or because he is the one who's crossed your path. Maybe it's got nothing to do with Emily or Josh. Maybe you're coming here because Jesus has crossed your path. And I say amen to that. You don't need a special reason to come to church. You know, sometimes we walk away from church feeling like, or walking away from an encounter with Jesus, feeling, well, Jesus, I'm really not good enough for this. And I did say to the team, there will be a moment in your days where you feel like you are not worthy to be here. It's not about not being worthy. It's about saying, I will. So Jesus went through Samaria to meet with this woman who knew she wasn't worthy for anything other than the scorn and ridicule that she had been receiving from her fellow folk in the town. Do you know that there's so many things that might have been going through her mind that day? I could be stoned for talking to this man. How can I give him a drink? He's not allowed to drink out of my cup. And then Jesus told her about her life. Jesus told her everything that she was. Jesus didn't do that to condemn her. Jesus did that to say, I value you. Jesus has said that to every one of you sitting in this room. Jesus has said to you, I value you. Because that's what Jesus does. I cannot begin to recount how many times people said to us in prison, the kids at VBS, I cannot recount how many times these kids said to us, thank you for coming, we love you. I don't have a lot to do with the kids, but you know Jesus is around and about when you get a little note like this. Dear John, spelt J-H-O-N, you are very friendly and I love you, big friendly giant. You are like a daddy to me. Please read this, Daddy, from Maledi in Red Team, Jack's team. 113 kids, because Jesus crossed their path. 113 kids because Jesus meant enough to people in this place and in others to go. And as we read on, we see what happened to the woman. I'll just find my place again. Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the town, verse 28, and said to the people there, come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah? So they left the town and went to see Jesus. And moving on to 39, many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they told the woman, we believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is really the Savior of the world. Because like the woman at the well, there were things and still are things in our lives that have to change for us to be able to truly follow Jesus. When we leave this place and go through those doors into the world, we will meet one person after another who is looking for hope, just like the woman at the well. You will meet people who feel no one cares. We met hundreds of people in the street, Carl and Carolyn and Jenny King went into the women's section of the prison in Kroonstadt on the last day. And they met women like this woman. Women who felt that they were worthless because of what had happened to them in their lives. Jesus went to extraordinary lengths to cross their paths through what Carl had to say, what Carolyn had to share, and Jenny King's testimony. In a couple of months' time, Jenny King's testimony will be in the Challenge newspaper. I challenge you to read it and not have tears in your eyes. And you will understand what I'm talking about there. We heard the testimony of Joshua Jakes and Emily Rampolini at orientation. And even now, thinking about what they've been through as young people. Jesus has done extraordinary things in their lives. You will meet people who are on the edge of a social circle. You will meet people who are in absolute despair. Jesus will take us across their path so that we can be the ones to tell them about him and his grace. That's what we've been doing in Africa, talking to folk who are outcasts. Being reshaped by Jesus, being brought to the foot of the cross, because, friends, that's all we can do. It's never about what you will do for Jesus. It's always about what he does in us. And it has been my privilege to watch young people, older people, even the elders on our team, learn things this year that they didn't think they would learn. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with Carl or Carolyn or Graham. We just provide leadership. Jesus provides inspiration. You know, it doesn't matter what your past has been like, because we can leave tonight knowing that we are the most treasured possessions of Jesus. Jesus held us in the hollow of his palm while we discovered again for many of us, and some for the first time, that he knows who we are. He knows, Emily, that we're not very good at describing who he is. He proved beyond any measure that we can do nothing off his path. We can only be on his path to do anything effective for the kingdom. He has proved to us yet again through the conversations we've had that no matter who we meet, he can be the answer to their difficulties because he knows every one of them. It all happens because Jesus crossed our path. If he hadn't crossed our paths, friends, we wouldn't have gone. If he hadn't crossed your path, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Someone thought enough of you to share Jesus with you. And what about the woman at the well? Well, you see, this is the exciting bit for me. Her life was changed. It wasn't just that she left the well with a smile on her face and feeling a little better on that particular day. It wasn't just that she had given some water to a thirsty stranger. No, friends, she knew she had encountered the Messiah. She was valued even though she was a woman. She was respected even though she was a Samaritan and felt ashamed about her past. She was loved even though something made her feel unlovable. So this woman did what I hope any of us would do in the same situation. She went back to her town, to her place, to her Jerusalem, and told everyone that she knew about Jesus. But it's what she didn't say that's even more wonderful. I imagine that as she said, "Come and see the man who has told me everything I have done," she could have been thinking, "and loved me anyway." See, there is nothing that you have done that can keep you away from Jesus. When I first met Jenny, Jesus had me in the hollow of his palm. I just didn't know it. He was firmly on my path. I just didn't know it. Some of you will know every moment of your journey towards Jesus and the very moment that you became a follower of his. Testimony is the most powerful thing that you have to share with people. And John says, because of her testimony, many people in the village believed in Jesus. Jesus had changed her life, and when she told people about it, they saw it and believed it, and they came to believe in Jesus as well. With her word, she became one of the first evangelists, one of the first to testify about Jesus, and she was a woman. It didn't matter that she'd lived in a time when women weren't supposed to speak and weren't really listened to if they did. Maybe the people of Sychar listened because they were so amazed that she was even speaking to them. Something extraordinary had happened in her life. And so they listened. You will have friends who have known you before you were a Christian and since you were a Christian. What is the transformation and the extraordinary thing that has taken place in your life that will make them notice and ask you the question, why are you different? That's what so many people would ask us on the street. Why are you different? Why are you here? What is it about South Africa that brings you here? And what do we say? Because Jesus has crossed our path. The woman had a story to tell about the Messiah who loved her when nobody else did. And when she told it, people listened. And you know, friends, there's so much more I could say about the trip, so much more I could say about the effect of the trip. You've seen it with your own eyes. It is one of my life's greatest privileges to lead people into mission, to lead people to share the gospel, to show them what to do, to help them with whatever is ailing them on the trip. But I can safely say that most people this year got through really, really magnificently. It was so good to be in that team and to see some of you here tonight. And I know I probably say that every year, but it was special. Every team is special. Every moment is special. If you want to come, I'd be happy to have you, because Jesus will change your life. He will set on your path, and he won't get off it until he's satisfied that you're walking in his direction, not yours. He got on the path of the woman of Sychar, and he didn't get off. We don't know what happened to her after that, but she, that day, became a valued, respected, loved human being, and that's what Jesus offers for all of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you that you thought enough of us to send your son Jesus to be here on this earth. Lord, as we think of the fact that he came, that he was just like us in many respects except for sin. He knows everything that we go through. He experienced so many things, and we see here in this passage of scripture the most extraordinary things that he does to be part of our lives. Lord, forgive us when those moments come when we hold out our hand and say, we don't want to know you, Jesus. Forgive us for that, Lord. Help us to understand what it is to be a true follower of yours. Help us to understand the sacrifice you made for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, just like the woman of Sychar, I just pray that everyone here tonight will leave here with a smile on their faces, knowing that Jesus did that for them. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for the transformation we've seen. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this evening now. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.